This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
All right, let's go. You're on with Jason and John, 92.9 FM ESPN. Happy Thursday to everybody. It is rare that I come on here and say I told you so, but Minnesota's turnovers all season long and in their first two playoff series this year were the writing on the wall, weren't they? That this Western Conference final was going to be much, much easier for OKC than its conference semifinal against Denver was. Here we are. Here we are. OKC advancing to its first finals since 2012. And they had a different cast of characters then. They came up short. John, do you remember it? Do you remember who stopped them, those young KD, Westbrook, and Harden team? Do you remember who did it?
It would have been the Heat.
Your GOAT.
Yeah, LeBron James.
It's one of LeBron's four championships.
And, don't forget, the viral moment of the Mike Miller one shoe.
How could I forget?
How could you forget?
I actually did, but thanks for reminding us.
That was actually the Spurs. Sorry. Wrong series.
You going to get Mike in any chance you get, ain't you?
Even when it's wrong.
Right.
Even when it's wrong.
We had discussed the year before when LeBron lost. Remember that?
That was to the Mavs.
Yep. And 2012 was the last year. Last time these OKC Thunder made the finals. I believe fifth time overall, because you got to go back to Sonics for the franchise, but second time since moving to OKC. Congrats to them. Congrats to SGA. Western Conference Final MVP. I think this was his third straight closeout game with 30-something. Pretty remarkable, pretty consistent, and so was OKC in that series, and Minnesota certainly helped them with the turnovers and everything else. And another presser. I'm just left scratching my head. You see who was sitting beside him? Mike Conley. Mike Conley. Did we see the last of him? 18 seasons, great Grizz player, 37 years old. Will he be back? Ant said he felt bad for Mike, but he didn't hurt for himself. Lots to discuss in terms of the narratives of that one. We've got, obviously, Pacers, Knicks continuing tonight. And tell you what, John, locally here? Pretty thin.
Yeah.
Local sports news.
I don't know what's going on with the Memphis sports scene. I mean, you guys are slacking.
We got Wharton School of Business over the,
got that.
This
Thank
week.
You, Penny. I don't think that's going to carry us through a week of programming, though.
Not him.
Not even a short week.
Not him.
But we'll do our best here. This is part of the cost of doing business in local sports radio when you have one and a half, teams, right? You're gonna run into this time.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we appreciate anybody that's still rocking with us, even the off season for sure. Here on the number one and the 901, 92.9 FM ESPN. Lots to get to on the show today. We are going to be joined by Drew Hill. Drew Hill will join us. He had some great news over the weekend.
He sure did.
He's going to be a dad.
How about that,
Daddy Drew? And not only
proud of him.
Not only will he be a daddy, he will be a girl dad. How about that?
Another round of applause for girl dads. You guys are the best.
Now, technically, I'm not a girl dad anymore, even though I have a daughter. Because I have a son, it removes me from that title. Girl dad is.
Do other girl dads agree with that?
Well, I think that's kind of the thing. That's kind of the thing, okay. Right? It's like to be a girl dad, you have to just have girls.
According to you,
I'm the dad of a girl, but I'm also the dad of a boy, Dominic, King Damo, Domino, the Dominator. You know, we got to get you checked a little bit because what you saw was an offensive lineman. And what the math sees.
Yeah, big wrists and forearms.
What the math sees.
Look like Gabe, son.
Is a little man. All right. So we're gonna have to, you know.
Again, maybe it was the way the picture was taken.
Yeah, he
looked giant.
He cut a figure. There's no question about it in that picture. But you know, I don't post pictures of Damo on the internet.
We know.
Ron Tillery ruined that for y'all. So anyway, Drew Hill is gonna join us at 11:25 and we'll talk to him about his news. And what's going on with the Grizz, right? We have, an offseason here. And again, with each passing day, it feels like the Grizzlies will not do very much. I saw a funny tweet last night that was like, I don't remember. You got to forgive me. I don't remember who it was from. It was like a Grizz fan. He said, I now, after watching this series, feel very comfortable that if the Grizzlies added two veteran pieces, they would lose to the Thunder in 6 games instead of 4. So,
solid.
Yeah.
I'd actually, if that's in a Western Conference Finals, I'd take it.
There's no doubt.
So if those two veterans are out there to be added, let's go down that road.
It would be nice to still be playing this late in the calendar.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
No question.
So anyway, we'll talk to Drew Hill about whether my instincts on that are correct. Because, you know, you have all this in the background chatter about how busy this offseason is going to be with trades. But it just feels like the Grizzlies will not be a part of it.
Well, again, nothing's going to start until that week of the draft. And that's where Wendy says, and Shams said it as well, I mean, we're going to get craziness. Can the Grizz get involved at that time and get that guy there when you don't have a first-round draft pick? Now, obviously, you own some others, but in your own, except for this year. But that's going to be that's where everything starts moving. Giannis is the first domino. KD's likely going to follow. A lot of the action in terms of the movement is going to be per trade. The Grizzlies have got to do something. Mm-hmm. It cannot be a run-it-back situation. Now, whether their deal has to come behind others as these bigger dominoes fall first and what gets moved for those dominoes then might get moved,
right.
And there might be something in there you want, that's the point. You probably have to wait in line for the big stuff, but expect come draft time,
yep.
That's where things are going to heat up.
Yeah, let's hope so.
Up until then, it's finding out about Jaren, right? Yeah. I mean, that's what we can talk about with Drew is what path do we go down now?
Yeah.
You know, renegotiate and extend. Is Jaren waiting till 26?
That seems to be the,
all that stuff.
That seems to
that's
be
what
the
that's
direction.
The business for the Grizzlies right now.
Yeah, for sure. Because I mean, it seems extremely unlikely that he would sign the full max, right? Like, it just doesn't feel like he would do that and subject himself to that much less money. So we'll get Drew's thoughts on that at 11:25. Then at 1:25, Rob Doster is going to join us from Field of 68. Got a couple of things to talk to him about, including. Memphis basketball's roster, what he makes of it, what he makes of the rest of the league. Some very interesting news late last night as LeBaron, I'm top five and all of them file on, announced in a shocking announcement that he is going back to school. He's a first-round guy. Every mock draft in the world had him going first round. And, like, not like super late either. Like
out of lottery, though, right?
Out of lottery.
Same thing as Yoxel.
Out of lottery.
Same thing as Yoxel.
But not by a ton. But obviously, he felt like he wasn't going lottery.
Right.
And so he said, you know what? Let me go back to Alabama and let me get this bag.
And don't you think, maybe even more so, certainly more so than Yoxel, he's got the chance to move up into lottery because of what he is.
He was only a freshman last year.
1,000%.
Yeah, so there's an upside there that exists that I think he'll probably reach. I was worried about Alabama. I said, what is Nate Oates doing at Alabama? And now it looks a whole lot different.
That's right.
Because you're talking about a backcourt of LeBaron, Filon, and Aiden Holloway now. It's elite. I mean, they're probably gunning for a top three finish in the SEC now. So, I mean, that's how high I am on LeBaron, Filon. And if you go back and listen to our interview with Hurd, I ended the show with a question, not really so much a question, but a statement about LeBaron and Filon. Mm-hmm. And Hurd was cheeky. Hurd was cheeky because I said, hey, get ready to break down LeBaron and Filon in the NBA draft coming up, man. We got to get ready for that. And he was like, he started laughing. He's like, yeah, Filon's a good one. It's like he knew, man.
Gotcha.
He knew he was going back to school.
I did not pick up on that at the time.
But
now looking back, yes.
Yeah, he was just, you know.
Oh, this was a surprise.
Very much so. I mean, it was announced by the NIL Collective at Alabama.
Well, how much do we think he's getting? Because, again, you go 20th, you're making 3.6 your first year, you know, on your rookie deal.
It's a great question.
So I'd like it'd be – we kind of got it with Yoxel.
Yep.
You know, in terms of we know his number, we know how it's higher than that bottom of that first round, it made sense. But for him, I'd be interested to know.
Yeah, I think, I mean, because Yoxel was getting, I heard, $3.5 to $4 million.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I would assume that Filon would have to be along those lines, but I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
He was closer to lottery, though, we think.
Yes.
To being a lottery guy than Yoxel was, but both.
But he's not a big,
yeah.
You know, so you got to probably factor. I would guess he's getting $3 million, but I don't know that for a fact. I'll ask my people and we'll see what's up, but. Big news there, and we'll also ask Rob Doster about, again, we're getting the rumblings from Charlie Baker that expansion may be imminent in the NCAA tournament. He was talking, I think, today, and he said that as he's at the Big 12 spring meetings, one of his top priorities was to discuss expanding March Madness, which could come as soon as 2026. The goal would be to try and do this for next year, 72 and 76,
yeah.
Which, hey, let's be real. It's good news for Memphis. It's good news for Memphis, okay?
Good news for maybe another AAC team.
It just is. You don't have to like it, but it is. Mm-hmm. So we'll get into all that today here on the show. That's what we got going on today. But lots to get to. Let's do a little thing we call over-under.
We start with the NBA playoffs in the Western Conference playoffs, which ended last night. And by the way, whatever the schedule is with the remaining Eastern Conference games, the playoffs and the finals will start next Thursday at 7
June 5th, right?
Yeah. Next Thursday is when that kicks off. So there might be a lull here if Indy ends it. You'll get the tonight's game, and then you'll have basically a week before they kick off the NBA finals. But let's start with Mike Conley and last night's loss to the eventual winner of the Western Conference playoffs, the Oklahoma City Thunder, Mike playing for the Minnesota Timberwolves. And the over-under question is, years remaining for Mike Conley, and our linesmiths have set the line at 1.5 years.
Real quick before you weigh in, John. It's what Ann Edwards had Mike Conley next to him in the presser yesterday and was asked about whether or not, you know, this hurts, being put away, packed up, second straight year in the Western Conference Finals. He said, I don't know why people would think it would hurt. It's exciting for me. I'm 23. I get to do it a whole bunch of times. I'm hurt more so for Mike. I came up short for Mike. We tried last year. We couldn't get it. We tried again this year. We'll try again next year. But hurt is a terrible word to use. I'm good. Describing himself, obviously had a man sitting next to him that, what's it been, three of these now? Three Western Conference Finals,
yep.
One with the Grizzlies, two with Minnesota,
yep.
0-3. Doesn't get a chance to go to the finals, 18th year he just completed. McMenamin touched on it in his story. I really thought this was the story, if you're sort of writing the Minnesota side, is that, you know, this probably is it. If you looked at Mike's numbers last night, they were awful as a starter. You went scoreless. And you just wonder at this point in his career, and certainly at this point in his career with Minnesota, right? Because if you look at it, John, go look at that box score. Two starters. Gobert and Conley were non-factors. Mm. Now, Conley's had some, you know, decent games that he's played, but this was not some great year for him. It was a down year. Mm. And so you just wonder, again, Minnesota now, having lost two straight Western Conference Finals, probably deciding we're going to have to shake some things up. One of them is probably Mike Conley as a starter. And so back to this, you know, how many more years is he going to play? Well, you've played 18. You know, my guess is Mike would love to shoot for 20. Number here is 1.5. This is what I don't want to see, is him just, you know, being sort of if he's okay with it, maybe, but being sort of that Derrick Rose guy at the end of the career that's just on the end of the bench to help out other guys, he's not on the floor at all. I don't know. Maybe he's fine with that, imparting the wisdom. He's sort of in that role with Anthony Edwards, but he's still a starter next to him. And so but again, getting to 20, and John, you were just talking about what 10 years in the NBA does for you. What's 20 do on your pension? That probably kicks in a whole nother level. But Mike's probably doing fine on money, too. My guess is it's, hey, I'd love to get to 20 years in the league. It's not about the pension, obviously. I don't know. I'm kind of torn on this because my mind tells me he should retire right now. He should walk away. You know, you don't want to be a something, you know, that you can't help on the court. I'll put it that way. You don't want to be in a position where you can't help on the court anymore. Now, maybe you can do that again in that sort of Udonis, Derrick Rose end of his career here with the Grizzlies role, the one Udonis used to have. But I'm talking a lot because I don't know the answer here. My guess is he's competitive. He's going to try to go over, and it's probably going to be with another team. So over 1.5. He's going to try to get to 20.
Yeah.
Although we probably need to be wrapping and calling a career, and pretty soon we have him down at FedEx Forum, right, to make it the fourth and final of the Big Four. No disrespect to him.
Sure, yeah.
And a great career.
Yeah.
How much can Mike Conley help a team right now? It certainly doesn't look like he can help a contender.
Yeah, so just on that pension point, you max out at 10 years.
Oh, okay, so there is no 20, you get a double.
You're fully vested after 3, but you max out at 10, and basically what that is, as of right now, is you get $215,000 a year for the rest of your life, no matter what, right, starting at 45 years old. Not bad.
Yeah.
Not bad. I think Mike Conley still has a little bit left to give to a team in a very specific role. Starter, no, would be the first part there. I think that's the, you know, they obviously drafted Rob Dillingham with hopes that he could take over for Mike Conley. I feel like, I don't know if he's ready for that, but in terms of Mike, yeah, I think he can still be a veteran voice for somebody. You know, he's going to want to make some money, and so that's the other thing, is like he's going to expect to make money. But I think I'm going to go over here. There were still enough games in the playoffs, I felt like, where, you know, he made big time impacts. You know, you're going to have, you have to acknowledge his shortcomings defensively, you know.
No question.
He's lost a step, absolutely. But, yeah, I think he did enough to show in the playoffs. Like, that experience is very valuable. You know, he didn't play well at all against the Thunder, but against the Warriors, you know, he had a game where he had 16-8-6. You know, like, again, starter, no. Reserve, backup point guard, if he's willing to be that, maybe he doesn't have to be that. I mean, he's made ungodly amounts of money in his life.
He looks like 10.7 more coming next year on the final year of his deal.
All right, so he'll do that one.
That gets us to 1.
And
that's 19 years. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, somebody would bring him on for one more year, I think, as a reserve. I do. And honestly, the Timberwolves might have to bring him on as a starter one more year because they don't have an option at this point.
You're spinning your wheels if you do that.
I mean, they can't say it's all right, it's Dillingham's, you know. I mean, Nikhil Alexander-Walker is not a point guard, I don't believe.
No, but again, you could move off, get a cheaper option, whatever it is, or make him a part of a deal an expiring.
Yeah.
You know, he's on an expiring. Make him a part of a deal to try to upgrade. Minnesota's going to have to make moves.
No, that's right. I mean, you're right. They might
do
that.
Two starters that did, you know, again, in this game, you're right. Mike had some decent games in the playoffs, but some better than decent.
Yeah.
Vet games. But that they cannot keep going this route with him and with Gobert.
No, he really struggled against the Thunder. There's no doubt. I mean, and honestly, like,
and that's where the league is now. That's who everybody is going to measure themselves against with their pace, with their ability to force turnovers and everything else.
Their length. Yeah, I mean, he didn't play well. He didn't play well against the Lakers really either. Which is kind of interesting. Yeah, listen, I think the twilight is probably here, but I think he does probably get to 2 more. I would say over 1.5.
Yeah.
Let's go to tonight's game in the Eastern Conference, where Pacers trying to clean up their business against the Knicks. This is at home. The get-in price, if you're interested in traveling there or you have friends in New York, is nosebleed top end is like $300, $400 just to sit in the building in the nosebleeds. Margin of victory for the New York Knicks tonight against the Pacers at 4.
Yeah, this has come down. It opened 5.5, and it's come down because of the cat uncertainty, right? You know, he's questionable. I expect him to play.
Yes.
But, like, how much of himself will he be? I think the Pacers wrap it up.
He thought he had a broken finger earlier in these playoffs.
Yeah, no, he's going to play.
Just fine.
We know NBA players like to exaggerate and fake their injuries, but I don't really even think it matters, right? Like, I don't really think it matters to the outcome of the series, whether Cat's on the floor or off. If he's off, obviously, it probably wraps it up for sure. But even if he plays, like, the way I might do this is I might wait and see, like, till he's ruled in and let the number come back up to 5, 5.5, and then come back and take the Pacers. But I think they win it. I mean, they've already shown you they can do that. They've already shown you that they can win a game in a fifth game on the road, which they did at Cleveland, which is a much better team than this New York team. It has much better players, much more depth. You know, New York's resilient, but I think you sort of saw game three, they threw everything at the wall, and it worked somehow, some way. They were down 20, but I kind of feel like that was their General Custer's last stand. And I just think this Pacers team is superior in every way, and I think Carlisle's good enough to get it done.
Oh, he's good enough, and Lord knows Pacers good on the road. I think it would be much harder for the Knicks to lay down tonight in front of their home fans than it was for Minnesota to do so last night in front of OKC.
Oh, most definitely.
Where everybody's expecting
most definitely.
It. You lay down tonight, those street signs you talk about all those players got, those temporary, they come down tonight.
They do.
And all the respect that they had built up in equity in New York, dude, out the window.
Absolutely.
If it looks anything like what it did last night in OKC, where you're laying down after a quarter.
Yeah.
Let's be real.
That would be like pride firing.
That's what, so because you're at home, that's what I'm saying. I think pride. You surprised me actually with the side draw. I think pride's gonna get them through tonight.
Yeah, it could. It could.
Now again, Indy. What are we talking about? They just beat them both times to open up the series.
Yep.
So, but I do think, bro, if they lay down tonight.
Yeah.
All of them.
Tibbs is probably gone.
But Tibbs is gone. I don't know how much they can break things up with how much they sort of spend in terms of assets to get it all there.
Right.
Ananobi, Mikal Bridges. You know, I don't know how much breaking up of it you can do, but it's going to have to be.
Those are tradable pieces.
Well, one thing you can't do is play those guys all season long. You better get a little bit deeper on that bench or be prepared to play more during the regular season. Point is, Tibbs probably got a role. He's run them into the ground. In the end,
that's right.
And then trying to play the Pacers' pace.
Yep.
You know, has come back to haunt them. You know, their abuse of Brunson on the defensive end. I say all that. I'm surprised that you're on the side of the Pacers close it out tonight because I think the Knicks will have to. I'm assuming Karl-Anthony Towns plays.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I think the Knicks find a way to win it tonight. Now, we're using number here, right? And what is it?
It's 4.
ESPN is listing 4.5.
Over just 2 and think. And Rick Carlisle, I'll have them ready, I'm sure. But I could see Pacers just, hey, we'll go close this out at home.
Yep.
We'll take care of business in 6. Now, again, they've been much like OKC in terms of, no, we got more business to take care of, and they do it, right? They don't wait. But I don't know, man. I would be stunned if we didn't get best Brunson, Josh Hart, a good to great Karl-Anthony Towns, and the Knicks at least, you know, appeasing their fans tonight.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, it's just the Pacers. If they let this go, the more this extends,
100%. We said if it goes to a 7, yeah, they'd be
you know,
in real
you,
trouble.
You start but sort of seeing ghosts a little bit.
If the Knicks don't lose game 1 in miraculous fashion.
Yeah.
This thing is tied 2-2 with them still having home court.
Yeah.
Nuts.
And who knows? Maybe,
I know it's been a coming out party for Halliburton in terms of as a superstar. You and I are on the same page on him. And Indy's – but this series is closer than it looks. Again, they should not have – Indy should not have won that first game. Mm-hmm. Nobody had come back from
– Yeah, that was nuts.
Down 9
in
the last minute.
Less than a minute.
Like, it shouldn't happen.
And they should have lost the damn game in regulation.
Really – For as poorly as the Knicks have, you know, been exposed in some areas and poorly as they played, this should be 2-2 with them having a chance to go up 3-2 tonight.
Yep. So
it should be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's why I think they're capable. They've come back from 20. Not that they're going to think that's going to happen tonight on their home floor, but they've come back from down 20 3 times in these playoffs. They're capable of a one last, let's get it to 7 back
surge.
Here and give our. So we got to win this one. I think that happens tonight. I'd be stunned if it didn't.
Yeah, the goal was just really
surprised if it didn't. Not
confuse
stunned.
Brad maximally, right? Like that was sort of the goal of this.
I was going to say there's a little bit of an okie doke there.
Surprised me though because I thought yesterday you were kind of on. We only touched on it, but I thought you were kind of on that.
Yeah.
You know, this is going to go 6. Thing.
Yeah.
So you came in here, you threw the curveball at me, John.
Yeah, well,
hold my thoughts on it.
Yeah, well, I think you need more time because you're just been you're being pulled every which way.
Those people in New York are going to have nightmares about that bouncing ball coming off the rim. I mean, that was the craziest thing ever.
Yes.
I was yelling at the
team. I'm tired of you because all you do is win
in the fade
segment.
It's the ESPN bet. I blame ESPN bet. They've changed their website.
Your integrity picks are so good.
Well, he's seeing,
clear vision is what he's got right now.
He's seeing the initial moves now that he didn't see a year ago, right? So he sees the open of the number, and then he can make his decision based on which way that number has gone.
What's that golf movie with Will Smith? And is it Bagger Vance or whatever, where you see
the Legend of Bagger Vance?
Have you ever seen that, John? He sees the course in a hole. That's how Brad's seeing these bets right now. It is
There's no doubt.
He can't see anything but the hole.
That's right.
It's amazing.
We'll come back
with this.
Drew Hill is going to join us on the other side. We'll talk to him about the finals, the Grizzlies moves, and more. Stick around. Jason and John, 90.9 FM, ESPN.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of casino-style games like bingo, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. T&Cs apply.
Drew Hill covers the Memphis Grizzlies, and he's been busy. Not just covering the Grizzlies. We got evidence. He joins us every Thursday, and he joins us now. Welcome to the show, lover boy.
And congratulations is the proper way to do that, probably.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. Man, all right. So I can tell the story now, I think. I woke up. It was April Fool's Day. The Grizzlies, as you may remember, they were playing a massive game against the Golden State Warriors at FedEx Forum that night. And I woke up, and my wife woke up before me, and she took a pregnancy test. Now, it wasn't a plan, right? We thought we were going to wait a couple more months. We had a big thing planned this summer. And she said, I need you to go to Walgreens, and get a nicer pregnancy test. And I said, it's April Fool's Day. You're messing with me. Like, whatever. And she said, no, actually, like, I need you to go because I have a positive pregnancy test. I was like, oh, my God. So I went up there. I got the nicer test, the electronic one, came back, and sure enough, that one was positive, too. And so nobody knew it, but I was pretty much freaking out the entire day and the entire night of that Grizzlies and Warriors game. And, yeah, so we found out on Friday that we are having a little girl, and I'm super pumped, so excited. If you know me, you know I'm a big softie, so it'll be really fun to be a girl dad, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, they say that when it is in fact a girl, that the love that was made was just a little sweeter in that instance. Can you confirm that?
Sure. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
The man says he's a softie. He makes sweet love.
Of course.
No, there's like a Will Compton.
Well, you should know, John. You have one of each.
Yeah.
I do. Yeah. The second one was wham bam. There is no doubt about it. The first one was like a
passionate.
It was an effort. I think I've talked about it here on the show, but like, you know, it was definitely. It was definitely like, yeah, like here is I'm just going to read this. I'm not co-signing this. OK, but this is in a book somewhere. The following techniques have been found to be 90% effective in producing a child of the sex desired by the parents. Right. So let's talk about conceiving a male. Intercourse should be brief and the finish should occur quickly before the woman has a climax. The man should withdraw halfway before. Men who have premature finishes will more often than not produce male children. So in other words, if the man's ability is weaker than his wife's, they will always have male children. If the man is stronger, the couple will have female children. So this is, again, in a book. And like I said, so in a long and roundabout way, congrats, Drew. On a lot of things. You're a strong man.
Dr. Valley over here.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll send you the book, Jason.
Half out. Man, stop. Please.
I'll send you the book. I mean, it's just. Oh, my God.
Please stop.
Well,
stop making our guests this uncomfortable. You're making me uncomfortable.
This is great.
He's making me uncomfortable, Drew.
No, look,
I'm uncomfortable.
It's a great boost to my ego. Thank you for that, John.
Drew did it right. He put on the Keith Sweat, you know, and he just went to town, man. So good for you, man. Good for you. All right, let's talk about what the Grizzlies are going to do now. I don't know if they're going to turn on Keith Sweat. But they should turn on something, because this is a fan base that is looking for change. And the question really becomes, how much change will they get? We know now the status of Jaren Jackson Jr. The draft is, what, a month away, a little less than a month away. Is that when you expect things to heat up, not just with the Grizzlies, but across the league?
Yeah, across the league. Maybe not as much with the Grizzlies. I'm not saying that the Grizzlies aren't going to do anything. Like, I think they're going to explore a lot of options here. But really, it's going to be July, at least until the Grizzlies can officially do much. And I know right now is a time where everyone's patience is going to get tested, because we're all sitting around waiting, wanting the Grizzlies to do something. But the truth is, like, all the big things that could potentially happen this offseason – all come at the start of the new league year, which begins July the 1st. So now we have the clarity on Jaren. You know, had it been, a super max extension, which it is not, they still would have had to wait. We kind of always knew that it was going to be July on this. But essentially, now you have some clarity. You're going to have to release some cap holds on some players. You're going to have some open roster spots this summer that are certainly coming. And then I think, you know, you have to sort of wait around. Like, if they were to do a Jaren extension, it's going to have to come after the start of the new league year, which is July the 1st. You know, that doesn't mean that it's going to come way later into that window, but it'll definitely be in that window. Doesn't mean that they can't start doing things before that. Like, you know, they're going to release cap holds on July the 1st, more than likely. They also can make trades, but those aren't going to go official until July the 1st, more than likely. It's just the way that the league works. you know, we can talk about how dumb it is that they make trades and then they can't talk about it until they go official, but that's just the way that the league operates. So it's going to be July is what I'm saying. It's going to be July before we get any sort of serious action here. Same thing with Ja. You know, Ja could potentially do a two-year extension, but, you know, you can't do that now because it's technically still 2024-25 league year, and an extension only adds 1 year on, and so you have to wait until July. So anything like that, and I'm not saying that those things are going to get done, like I think they're up in the air. I think they would like to at least get a Jaren extension done, and I think there's a chance a Ja extension gets done as well. You know, they both have very different impacts, and we can talk about that, but they're both not happening until July. It's not possible for the Grizzlies to do it. So everybody can sit back, enjoy the hoops for now, and wait for the draft, and maybe you'll get a little bit of trade speculation, a couple trade things here and there, but the big stuff is not going to happen until the new league year takes place.
Okay, and then just for clarification for me, Drew, and for any listeners that might be unclear on it, Jaren could qualify for the Supermax again. He could try for it again. Is that part correct? And then if it is, what, you know, is that going to get harder when you got, I think Shingun's, you know, didn't, you know, is going to be right there, you figure, at some point, and I don't know, likelihood of that. Is that the case? And if so, what's the likelihood of it, of him, you know, making Supermax next year if he goes for it again?
It is a case. It would definitely change things up this summer in terms of likelihood. I think you're probably right. There's a lot of young players.
Yeah.
There's only so many forward spots. I wonder how they'll qualify Cooper Flagg, you know, like, is he going to be immediately that good? You know, the competition is going to be really stiff, especially in the West. So I don't know if that was something he wanted to do. And he said, hey, I still think I can get that Supermax. Then he could just pass on everything this summer, say no extension. And if that's the case, that's going to change things for the Grizzlies because, you know, we talk about all this maneuvering that they would have to do in order to renegotiate his deal for next season. You know, they wouldn't have to do any of that.
Right.
Jaren would be on a pretty cheap contract. Now, they'd have to set themselves up, right? They'd have to think to the future, like, what if he does get it? Are we going to be in big trouble because we spent all the money? We don't have any cap space anymore. Are we going to have to do maneuvering all over again? I think that would definitely change the Grizzlies' approach, or at least make the calculation of what they need to do a little bit more difficult. But it is definitely a possibility, yeah.
All right, so obviously it's just sort of, you know, speculative at this point. So I don't even know if there's a whole lot of value in asking, well, what are you, you know, because who knows? Who knows? So let's turn you to the playoffs here. Oklahoma City is through. You know, this is a team that a lot of people, it feels like, have, over the course of the season, like, kind of denied, maybe shortchanged, but they have shown closeout games now, whether it's at home against Denver, whether it's on the road here in Memphis, whether it's at home against Minnesota. Like, they have grown up quite a bit. How many is this Oklahoma City team going to get, Drew, with this core?
I mean, two or three is definitely not out of the picture here. As you guys know, I've been an OKC believer for a while. I thought that they were going to win it all last year. I think that, you know, when you look at their future, this is actually something that was being discussed in the Grizzlies locker room afterwards. Not among the Grizzlies players, but just among the media, like me and a few other people. We were saying, you know, this OKC team is so good, and they're not going anywhere. They have everybody on good deals. Like, it's just, it's ridiculous. They're going to be this good for a long time. I think that they're extremely talented. I found, you know, in this postseason that I get increasingly more frustrated watching them. I don't know if it's just because they're that much better than the next team. The contrast between the way that they play offensively and the way that they play defensively is maddening to some degree. I really do think that is the case. Like, you know, if I had any complaint about watching the Thunder, it's like you're watching this team that is so physical defensively and fouls so much that they force the officials to blow the whistle. And then offensively, they take contact and they draw fouls at a crazy rate. And the contrast of that can be frustrating to watch. And that's my only gripe when it comes to watching OKC. Obviously, they're really good. I think the Shea free throw stuff is a little bit overblown, to be honest with you. But I don't like watching players flop, and then you turn around, you go to the other end of the court, and they're the most physical team, and whoever the Thunder are playing could be flopping on every single possession, and they're not. Like, that drives me crazy, to be honest with you. But other than that, I don't think there's much you can complain about. They're just so talented. Shea makes all those mid-range shots. They've got defenders that are just elite with very quick hands. They have so many bodies that they can throw at you. They're extremely good. Sometimes they're incredibly frustrating to watch play basketball, but they are extremely good.
I think what they've done, it's sort of, I would compare it almost to Tush Push. Now, they haven't found something new, but in the way that the NBA, we know that once you get to playoffs, yeah, sure, it's soft league. Folks have called it regular season. They call everything. But in playoffs, you let a lot more go. And what OKC has done is like thrown it back to the 90s, man. They look like an Eastern Conference team back in the 90s, the way they would beat up each other. And they're almost daring the league, right, to you make us reel it in. We're gonna play that style they did in the 90s, and the league just right hasn't adjusted. Or maybe more teams need to be like them, Drew, and turn it up in the playoffs to the level they are. I'm with you. It gets frustrating when Shea feels like he's getting touched down there on the other end and getting the free throw line. But, bro, there's a lot more to that. Like you said, his mid-range game, Jalen Williams' mid-range game, what they do in terms of transition, like there's a lot of you can't do anything in the end but respect it. In terms of on the other side, Drew, when you look at the Minnesota side, right, you got two starters in there, Gobert and Mike Conley, and God bless Mike Conley. We love him to death. But last night he's scoreless as a starter. Gobert was rendered useless in this series. They're going to have to make some not just edge moves. It feels like with a guy like Conley, like but big moves, right? And maybe it's re-signing Nas and moving off Gobert. If that guy's not helping you, what are we doing?
Yeah, no, it's a good question. It's the thing with the Timberwolves is like they're almost in the same spot as the Grizzlies. I'm looking at that series and sort of the way that last game was lopsided, and you know, Memphis had that huge lead in game 3 over OKC, and if Ja doesn't get hurt, maybe they just run away with that game and they play the exact same series that the Timberwolves played against the Thunder. It's a carbon copy,
quite
right?
Possibly, yeah.
So it's, to me, you know, Minnesota's somewhat in the same situation as Memphis, right? You know you have to retool. You know you have to reconfigure. And it feels like every team in the West is going to feel that way as long as the Thunder exists, because they're that good. I don't know what the answer is for Minnesota, because they've already did it this past offseason when they traded Cat out and they sort of leaned into the bigger team. Are they going to just abandon that after one season? I don't know. I think that they're in a difficult spot as well. I'm not familiar with their finances the way I'm familiar with sort of the way that the Grizzlies are structured.
Of course.
I don't know what their level of flexibility is this offseason, but you know, I would imagine they're probably feeling the same way. Like, you know, if we want to be able to compete against this team, we're going to have to do things differently. And I wonder if like people going to follow the Thunder's lead here and just try to build a team similar to the way that they play. And one more thing on that, on the Thunder point, and your point about them playing in the 90s, playing like 90s ball.
Yeah.
Do you remember when there was the wave of officiating where it was like Trae Young was drawing all these fouls? They're just Harden and they're just trying to get guys in the air.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, it was like the league came in and said, enough of this. People don't want to watch this anymore. Stop blowing the whistle on that. Like, we're going to let more go, because this is not the direction we want to go. And OKC identified that and said, perfect, you know? Well, we're going to play the opposite way.
Yep.
We're going to foul as much as we possibly can, and you just said you're not calling it as much. And they've taken advantage of it to their credit.
Yep.
And, I wonder if, I don't know, maybe we make too much of the officiating because OKC is really dang good. But OKC has certainly found a way to take advantage of the system here.
100%.
And there's going to be teams that follow them.
Yeah, but you know, I think the question is like, that's the part of it that when the Warriors existed, when they were born, and it was Steph, and it was Clay, and it was all the shooting, like, okay, that's,
You just go get all the shooting, right? That's just not you're not gonna match that. You're not gonna match Steph and Clay, but that's the idea. Is like, let's go get more shooting. What do you get to match the Thunder? You get more defense. Like, what am I attacking?
You get 25 first round draft picks and make good selections on every single one of them.
Right.
I mean, like that's what the Thunder did. You make a good point. I don't know, but I think you need as many perimeter defenders as you can possibly get.
Yeah.
That's the model if you're trying to follow the OKC model.
Well, that is true.
And maybe somebody will come up with something else down the line, and that's what everybody will try to copy. But it feels like everybody's going to try to copy what OKC has done.
In theory, though, Minnesota had that, though, because they had Ant and they had Jaden McDaniels. I mean, those two were as good as it's going to get. Now, I'm not saying that the rest of the team was perfect, but you're not going to have a perfect team in today's NBA. Like, you're not. So even that, like, the Grizzlies would never be able to snap their fingers and say, all right, we're going to go get Anthony Edwards and we're going to go get Jaden McDaniels. Like, that, like, even it just feels futile.
That's what's interesting. There's two parts to this. One, the difference between Minnesota and OKC is that OKC has four of those guys, right? Mm-hmm. OKC has Caruso and Dort and Shea and Cason Wallace. Like, they have so many of those guys.
Right.
They have way more than anybody else has. But what's if we're trying to compare this to the Grizzlies, it's like almost like the Grizzlies thought they were going to play the way the Knicks and the Thunder, to some degree, played. This was the idea of adding Marcus Smart, right? That they were going to have Marcus and Vince and Scotty, and they were going to have all these – and then they ended up playing closer to the way Indiana plays, which was way more offensively centered. And those guys obviously didn't pan out, so maybe they just pivoted. But now you go look into the offseason, you try to figure out what they're going to do. They already hired an offensive-minded coach. Like, they hired a guy. Like, clearly, I think it signals more that they're going to lean into offense and they're going to try to outscore people versus the other way around. So maybe the Grizzlies aren't going to model the Thunder, but I think a lot of other teams will. It's interesting. The Grizzlies probably went into this season with Marcus Smart, thinking he was healthy, with Vince Williams before he got hurt, and they probably envisioned playing a lot more like OKC than Indiana, and the finals matchup is going to be sort of closer to what the Grizzlies became versus what the Grizzlies thought that they were going to be.
Drew, what would you think about P.J. Washington in the lineup at the three? Could he do it? What do you think of him as a player? Is he good enough defensively for what you need to offset a backcourt that would be John and assuming Bane, both of those guys are back? Would he be a fit, Drew, if you traded for him?
I think he'd be a fit. I like it. I think any time you can add shooting, veteran shooting, and some combination of speed and size, you do that in the NBA. I wonder how the Grizzlies would get to a trade for him.
Right.
Would they have to give up Bane to get to a trade for him? But I do think he fits. And we talk about, you know, trying to compete with the Thunder. There's been no player that's shown he can be a Thunder killer more
you
than P.J.
Lying.
Washington.
That's so
been.
True.
And so, I mean, like, I like it. It's something I would consider. I think it'd be a good trade if you can make it happen. I haven't fully played out the different scenarios in which you could get him to Memphis. I think the other question here is, like, is Dallas going to give up a player like that? Because it feels like, you know, I was reading the other day, I think it was in The Athletic, you know, Dallas is going to try to do the two timeline thing, right? They're going to try to keep their young players and their veteran players and mold them together. And they're not going to like fully buy into, okay, we're going to build around Cooper Flagg and in 3 years we're going to be there. Like,
right.
I think they're going to try to win right now.
Yep.
So I don't know. Are they going to give up PJ Washington in that scenario? That's a big question. But I do like his fit with the Grizzlies, and I think he would be a good addition for sure.
All right, let's go to the East. Pacers, Knicks, could be a closeout tonight. If it is the Pacers, this would be the biggest favorite in an NBA Finals since 2017, when it was Warriors versus the Cavs. I think the Warriors ended up winning in five. Maybe it was a sweep, actually. Might have actually even been a sweep in that series. It was either four or five. I think that was the one where, remember, George Hill –
didn't know what time was left on the clock, and or it was J.R. Smith, one of the two, and LeBron went off on him. Could have been a different series if they would have won that first one. Either way, should the Thunder be the biggest favorite in the NBA Finals since 2017 if it's the Pacers on the other side?
Yes, I think so, but I think the Pacers will get at least one. I could see them getting two games. I think the Pacers are better built to be competitive with the Thunder. You know, it's interesting, though, because I've gone back and forth on that. I think initially I probably thought the Knicks, and after watching this Knicks and Pacers series, I feel like it's the Pacers. You just have to have a team that can take care of the ball, you know?
100%.
And OKC is so talented that I think some of the long defenders that the Knicks have, you know, they have a lot of perimeter defenders as well, sort of the way OKC does, and Ananobi and Bridges. So I just think that the Pacers, with their pace, their ability to get into transition, their ability to get some cheap baskets, and also just keep up from a shooting perspective, will give the Thunder a better series, but I don't see them winning that series. Like, I think it's five games, maybe six, and so I think the Thunder should be huge favorites.
Yeah, it was 2018. Was the
2018?
Yeah, 2017 was a five-game series. 2018 was a sweep. They played every damn year, so it's easy to get it mixed up. But yeah, 2018 was the one where J.R. Smith got the rebound and didn't realize how much time was left on the clock, or didn't know the score or whatever, and they lost in overtime.
Drew, chances you think that that guys like Vince Williams or G.G. Jackson could become our sort of Aaron Nesmith, develops into a player that is impactful, right?
I don't know about the shooting. I think they'd be different players than Nesmith. You know, obviously Nesmith, from a three-point perspective, and I'd have to look at the season-long numbers, but just based on what I've seen in the playoffs, you know, I don't know if their shooting is going to be quite to that level. And I think GG's athleticism and his ability to sort of drive it and get to the basket, and then, you know, he didn't have a good defensive season, but he has defensive tools. Like, that's the thing with him. And that's part of why the season was so frustrating, is because he has the athleticism to be a good defender.
Yep.
I think that they would be different players, but I think that they can still be impactful players. It's interesting, too, like, especially with GG, because even next year he's going to be so young.
So young. Right? Right.
And so how much patience does Memphis have for him to eventually mold into a really good player? Because I think it's coming. I think he's going to be a good player in the NBA. I just think that it's going to take a little bit of time. And they knew that, right, when they added him. And then the season sort of worked out where he got so much opportunity. He flashed so much, they felt like they really didn't have a choice other than to, you know, sign him and put him on the main roster. And then Vince is difficult because I don't know how much I believe the first season shooting numbers.
Understood.
You know,
it
never has seemed like the shot is smooth, right? And so I don't know. I don't know if that's going to come around. And he's a little bit later on in his progression in terms of age. Like, I think I hate to say this because I think he's a productive player, and if you look at his rebounding numbers, he's really, really good for his size. But I don't know, man. Like, I don't know if he's ever going to be maybe what we thought. I would love for him to prove me wrong. But to me, that one's a little bit harder for me to envision just based on what we saw this season. So we'll see. And then, like, those guys, by the way, two-way players at one point that the Grizzlies promoted to the main roster.
Right.
I'm interested in seeing when we talk about what could come next, like what kind of news might we get, what can come before July. I'll be interested to see what the Grizzlies do in this draft because, you know, they may end up needing to draft and stash guys or, you know, go the two-way route because they might have two-way spots open. To me, I'm just wondering out loud. I have no information on this. I wonder if the type of players that are like surprises that they stayed in draft are the types of guys that the Grizzlies could be interested in, knowing that the Grizzlies are likely to fill two-way spots with their draft picks. So I'm going to be keeping an eye on those guys. I don't have the names in front of me right now, but I'll be interested to see what they do. And then you know, we talked about having to release cap holds on Lamar Stevens, Marvin Bagley, Luke Kennard. It doesn't mean that they can't possibly bring those players back, but I don't think it's likely more than at least one is coming back. So you're going to have open roster spots. Like, what happens if one of these two-way players impresses at Summer League? You know, a rookie minimum contract is the cheapest contract that you can give out for the main roster. We know the Grizzlies are going to have to work on a budget. Like, I think that there's a chance that, you know, whoever they draft starts on a two-way deal, and depending on what happens in Summer League, ends up on the main roster again. Just the same way Gigi Jackson, you know, played out, the same way Vince played out. So I'll be keeping an eye on that as well.
All right, last thing. You got some fun news last night as an Alabama basketball fan. LeBaron Filon, at the last minute, is going back to the Crimson Tide and not going to the NBA draft. I mean, I was worried for your boy, Nate Oates, because I was like, what are they doing? But maybe I just didn't see the vision. Maybe I just didn't see what Nate Oates knew, because it feels like this changes pretty much everything about them.
Yeah, I still don't know how good this team's going to be. They brought in some good transfers. Obviously, getting Filon back, Aiden Holloway back, is big. But you lost so much production and leadership. I just wonder if they're going to take a step back. And the one that really hurts, is Mo Diabate going to Kentucky. You know, he was sort of the glue guy, the energy guy on the team.
I don't know what happened there.
We accidentally lost her.
Damn, I really hate that. Well, we'll just have to. Well, I do want to thank the Dial Tone for joining.
Phone issue here. Sorry,
phone issue here. There's no doubt about that. I would agree. Well, we have a phone issue. We got some Chris.
Lost him right in the middle of it.
I wonder if it was an operator error over here. You know, some an errant elbow.
How did that happen?
I think so.
But we do want to thank Drew anyway.
Now he's on.
Oh,
we got you.
Go. Sorry, we were in.
I was just saying, losing Mo Diabate hurts. That one hurts. Going to Kentucky too in the conference, that sucks. I was pretty sad to see that happen, but yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I think Tide will be good. Real quick, one thing before I get out of here. I put this in the newsletter today, so make sure you're subscribed to our newsletter. I know the Tarik Bavarovic stuff was out there too. Same thing as TJ Shorts. I don't think anything is official on that yet. So, that's going to have to be a wait and see. I feel like, you know, sometimes there's a little bit of jump in the gun that happens overseas. So I'm not saying it's not going to happen, but I'm just saying I don't think anything's official on that yet. So a little bit of news for you guys.
Man, you're all over everything, Drew, even the international guys.
You're the best, Drew. Thank you, as always, for the time.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Thanks,
bro.
Guys.
Yep. Here's Drew Hill.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.